You say that's a change to preach at the side of the pulpit when you are 20 months away from being 90. You'll make some changes. Yeah. I was smitten with a French disease in August, Guillain-Barré syndrome, came from France. Only 1 in 100,000 people have it, and it hit me, and it paralyzed my feet. I couldn't take a step for days. The boys came and helped me to go to the bathroom and back. And they warned me that after you have it, it will go up on you. It will go up your body and then come back down. And if you've got any extra room in your prayer life, I don't want to be selfish, but I'd like to ask you to pray that the paralysis that was in my feet will not move up to my knees, and there's every indication it's doing that. And I hope to see a doctor Monday to try to head it off. They say if it goes to the lungs and paralyzes the lungs, it's almost fatal. So I appreciate your prayers. And my wife, she's got arthritis and great pain. A doctor's wanting her to have shoulder surgery. And she's having a hard time. But she said this morning, I'm going to go. And then at 1 o'clock, she said, I can't make it. I can't make it. She'd have loved to have been here tonight. But she couldn't come. I think without her, after they've always worked with her 40 years, she never missed a service until a week ago and tonight. 40 years, never missed a service. But I think the choir adjusting to her not being here did a great job. I think they really did their best, and it was good. And the spatial numbers were good. Thank you, choir. Thank you. And I see people here tonight. I'm glad to see you here. Brother Dickinson, good to see you. Good to see you. And Linda, God bless you. And here's a lady that went to high school with me, all through school with me. And she lives here in Byersville. And we're about the only two left in our class. And her name is Marjorie Addis, and she's a good friend of mine. There's hardly a week goes by that we don't exchange a phone call or a letter. And I thank the Lord for her to have a friend from back in high school. And she came tonight. God bless you. And your friend that's with you, God bless you for coming. And we're glad to have you here tonight. And I'm going to speak tonight my message. The woman of Tekoa is my message. I'll not speak long. Before I go on, I want to thank Brother Leithley for having us, inviting the choir and us, for teaching in the college, and for your help to our school. Thank you. Thank you, brother. I really appreciate it. Amen. A woman of Tekoa, an obscure woman. Nobody ever heard of her before or after she comes on the scene. But she made a statement when she's on one page of the Bible. She made a statement 3,000 years ago. That's still being preached in pulpits 3,000 years until tonight. It's bouncing off the walls of this church in Byersville, Ohio. And she made this statement 3,000 years ago. Now, the statement and the background. David after his sin with Bathsheba, Nathan told him, "You'll have problems in the future. The dealing will never leave your house." And his big problem was with his children. And Ammon, his son, molested his half-sister, Tamar. Tricked her, molested her. It was Ammon's half-sister. It was Absalom's full sister. And Absalom, he was angry. He set up a situation, got Ammon to drinking. He's killed, had him killed. And when he killed Ammon, he was banished from Jerusalem. And he went down to the Jordan River to a village across the river. Banished down there 3 years. He couldn't come back to Jerusalem and he couldn't meet with his father for 3 years. And after 3 years, the death of Ammon is not affecting David like it was when it happened. And he desires to see Absalom that killed his son. And he's walking back and forth on his house roof. He's not looking at a woman taking a bath now. He's looking to the east. He's not looking to the north, or you see Mount Hermon with the snow cap on top. He's not looking to the west, or he'd see the Mediterranean Sea and all of its beauty. He doesn't look to the south, or he'd see that mountain where Abraham offered up Isaac. He's not looking north, east, north, south, or west. He's looking east, walking back and forth, stopping and looking. Looking toward Jordan River. Looking over there where Absalom is. And he's greatly despondent and discouraged until his right-hand man, Joab, who led his army. David told it what to do, but Joab led it in the battle. Joab didn't have a spiritual bone in his body. Joab was a leader, and if you study his life, you'll almost come to the conclusion he likes to kill people. And he killed a lot of people. But Joab sees David walking back and forth, looking toward the Jordan, looking where Absalom is, depressed and discouraged. Until Joab knows there'd not be any good leading in a battle. He wouldn't be effective. So Joab, not spiritual but clever, he decides to bring him out of that state of depression, make him active again. And to do that, he got the woman of Tekoa. 14 miles south of Bethlehem, in an obscure village, Tekoa, the woman of Tekoa. He called her to Jerusalem. And Joab said, "The king is discouraged. I want you to do something. And I will put the words in your mouth. You go to the king and take those words I give you and give them to David the king." And then he dressed her up like a widow, a woman depressed, a woman that's afflicted. Her husband is dead. I was in Spain once. There were women all dressed in black. Many women dressed in black. I said to the missionary, why do those women in Madrid and Spain dress in black? If a woman's husband is dead, she doesn't wear anything but black the rest of her life, unless she would remarry. She dresses in black. There were ways that people dressed, and he put her in the garments of affliction, sadness, and told her what to say. She went to the palace, asked for an audience with the king. It was granted. She came in. He's on the throne. That woman, dressed in the garments of affliction and sadness, walks up to the king and bows down and declares him as king and honors him. What do you want? Oh, king, my husband is dead. I had two boys. Those two boys got in a fight, an argument, and one of my boys killed the other. And my relatives say that if I ever bring him around, they'll kill him. And I can't bring him to live a normal life with me. He's banished. And I can't have a decent life with him. She used an expression we don't use. She said, they are going to put out my coal. Her coal was a burning ember. And the people, the relatives, was going to clench it until she had nothing. Her husband's dead. One boy is dead. And if they kill him, who will get our inheritance of our land? Who will take care of the things we inherited? We're going to lose it all. They're going to put out my coal. We would say in America, they're going to wipe us out. But she used the expression, they will put out my coal if they kill my son. David, there it is. I want your help. I need your help. His heart is touched. David was the greatest king Israel ever had. He led it to military heights that no other king ever did. He led it to be a great nation, David. But he's got a tender heart. He wrote, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He wrote those psalms, those beautiful words, until he was known as the sweet psalmist of Israel. David said, your son will come back. And anybody that causes you harm, he'll pay for it. And there'll never be a hair fall from his head. No one will mistreat him. I'll see to that. And she said, thank you. Thank you. And got ready to leave and said, King David, King, I have just another word to say. Would it be all right if I said another statement? Yes, say on. You were a kind man to protect my son. You were a gracious man to promise to protect him in the future. And then she put her life at risk. She said, King, what about your son? Your son, Absalom, is banished across the river 3 years. You haven't seen him. Your son is banished. If you told me you would protect my son so he could come back and live with me. What about your son, King? Absalom, 3 years banished. And you don't bring him home. Touched the heart of David. And the statement that she made, it's immortal. It's to tonight, 3,000 years later, we're using it. And you may use it tomorrow. But she said, statement. Great speech. That woman from obscurity. That woman that walked into Jerusalem and we read about her and she left and we never hear of her again. The woman of Tekoa said to David, "For we must needs die and are as water spilled on the ground that cannot be gathered up again." If Absalom dies, you can't gather up his life again. You can't meet with him. You can't commune with him. Water is spilt. You can't gather it up again. Ammon's dead. He probably deserved it. But Absalom's alive. And if he dies, you'll have no communion with him. You'll have no joy with him if he dies. And then this statement, immortal. God doth devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. There's a difference between banished and expelled. Expelled, you can't come back. When a boy got expelled from school or the college I went to, he couldn't come back. But if he were banished, there's ways that he could come back. And that memorial statement is, God has devised a way that the banished are not expelled. David called Joab, "Go get Absalom. Bring him back to Jerusalem." And Absalom went and got Joab went and got Absalom and brought him back. There was a time of reconciliation, but eventually Absalom walked in to the king. They embraced, and the king kissed him, which meant he was forgiven. He was forgiven. Now, that's the story. That's the story of the woman of Tekoa. A great statement. God has devised a way that the banished are not expelled. There it is in the Bible. And my message is, I was banished. Why was I banished? Because the Bible says in the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul. I didn't do that. I didn't love the Lord with all my heart, mind, and soul. That made me a sinner against the authority of God. God's authority was, love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. I did not. So I disobeyed his authority. That's what plunged the human race into sin. Adam and Eve disobeyed the authority of God. Don't eat of that tree. My authority. My authority. Name those animals. My authority. Trim the garden and keep it. My authority. Don't eat of that tree. They disobeyed the authority of God, which is not trivia. It's treason to disobey Almighty God that made the universe and made us and gave us life to live. And to disobey that authority, that Creator, the one that made us, the one that gave us life, and then disobey Him. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. I didn't do that. My God, when I was in a high school, was a basketball. That was my God. I practiced in the summertime and played in the winter, played to get trophies and played to get honor. My God was a basketball. I didn't love the Lord. I loved the basketball. Some people, their God is an automobile or some land or whatever. But no one has ever loved the Lord thy God with all thy mind, all thy heart, all thy soul. And that makes us all sinners and banished. I was banished. I was banished. Absalom couldn't come in the temple. Absalom couldn't commune with his father. Absalom couldn't enjoy the feasts and the sacrifices. He was banished. I couldn't go to God. I was banished. I could make a pretense of praying and did, and prayed three prayers every night. Now I lay me down to sleep, our Father which art in heaven, and then I prayed my own asking. But I never asked anything for God, and I never told Him I loved Him. I was thinking only of myself, and if I prayed, I asked for something for me. I didn't love the Lord. That's not a little trivia sin. That's treason, not to love the Creator. And when we don't do it, we're banished. And Absalom couldn't come to the temple. He couldn't participate in a sacrifice. He couldn't commune with the king. He was banished. And I was banished. I was banished for 19 years from God. I couldn't go to the throne of grace. I wasn't a Christian. I couldn't commune with God in real fellowship because I didn't know Him. I was banished. And then I walked in a building in Columbus, Ohio, in the spring of 54. I'm 19 years old. I'm lost. And on my way to a movie. And a boy that was retarded and contorted speech got in front of me and said, "Come in and hear gospel." I said, "No, I'm going to movie." He said, "Come in and hear gospel." I went in. I sat down. Big tall preacher came out with a Bible. Preached the gospel. How that Jesus died for me. Paid for my sins. And come. You can come home. You've been banished. You can come home. And that night I came home. I came home that night. I'd been banished for 19 years. But thank God I wasn't expelled. I could come back. Because I'd been banished. I'm from over there in the hills of Noble County, Summerfield. And Margie there and I went to school together in those hills. Summerfield, 400 people. One big tall man, 6'6". Baseball player. and a hard man. His wife was a Christian. Down the hill in Summerfield, and it's all on hills, there's a little church on the side of the road. He'd take her there every service and then go on down the road to the saloon. And by the time he came back, the car was weaving all over the road. He'd stop. She'd come out and get in that car with her drunk husband and go down to their house. She prayed for him day and night. He kept going down there and getting drunk. And one day, he stopped and she got out to go in the church. He turned the car off and went in and got saved. He accepted Christ as his Savior that night. His life changed. He never went back down to that saloon again. All those old rough guys around him, they're all talking about what Frank did. Frank's going to church. He couldn't teach Sunday school. He didn't know anything about the Bible. And he couldn't be a preacher. And Frank could take the offering. He's 6'6". And when he held an offering plate in front of you, he didn't go unless you gave something. The finances increased when Frank got saved. And Frank got saved. And he had been banished. But thank God he wasn't expelled. He came home. Frank came home and it was the talk of that town. Frank got saved. And he lived for the Lord till the day he died. I heard he died and I was in Marietta. I drove to Summerfield to his funeral. There wasn't 15 people there, and not one of those guys that he drank with, not one of them came to his funeral. They didn't care a thing about him after he got saved. And he's in heaven tonight. His daughter in New Jersey wrote me a letter, said, "Thank God you went to his funeral. I didn't think anybody would, and you went clear from Marietta." I said, "I was happy to. I was happy to go to Frank's funeral." And praise, he was banished, but he wasn't expelled. Young man, you were banished. Don't frown and look at me like I don't understand. You were banished from God. You couldn't come to Him, to the throne of grace. You couldn't commune with Him. You couldn't fellowship with Him. You were banished, but thank God you weren't expelled. And you're here tonight. You're here tonight because Jesus died. I'm through, except I'd like to tell you this. Those old preachers, I used to hear them when I was a boy in country churches. They never went to Bible college. They didn't study the Bible. Some of them didn't read it. But they were natural preachers. And they'd tell stories. To preach what they wanted to preach, they'd tell stories in the pulpit. Some of them were a little off theologically, but good stories. This old preacher, he was preaching about man needed to be rescued and saved, rescued from judgment. That's what he did when he saved us. He rescued us from judgment that would ultimately put us in a Christless eternity. He saved us, rescued us from judgment. Well, this old preacher told a story. He said there was an angel called Uriah up in heaven. He said, "I'll go down. I'll go down like Absalom went down. Joab went down and brought Absalom. I'll go down. And I'm the angel of light. So I'll go down and give men light, and they'll come." The father said, "No, you that will not work, because men love darkness rather than light." Well, Raphael stepped up, another angel. and said, I'm the angel of intelligence. I'll go down and reason with man. And I'll bring man in with reason. God said to him, no use to go. Man will not reason. The gospel's been made reasonable, but they don't accept it. Then Michael said, I'll go with a flashing sword, and I'll use that sword and drive them in and bring them. God said, no, we do not use the weapons of warfare, the carnal weapons. And Gabriel said, I'll go down and sing to them. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. God said, you can't go. That won't work, because they have ears but do not hear. And then another step forward. This is the story of the old preacher, Jesus. He said, I'll go. Heaven burst, and every angel in heaven, perhaps millions, sang, glory to God, glory to God. The Savior's going to go. And he came down, lived in obscurity for 30 years, and ministered for 3, healed, preached, ministered. And then they took him to the cross. He went to the cross to pay, to get us out of being banished and bring us home. He went through 6 hours of agony, slow agony and suffering. That day on the cross, he gathered the sins of the world, reached out into the future and got my sin and put it on his own body on the cross and died for me. Died for me that I not be banished and not expelled. Thank the Lord. Jesus paid for my salvation. I don't think I'll go to heaven. I don't believe I'll go to heaven. I don't trust going to heaven on the fact that I've preached 68 years. Not one of those sermons would save me. Nothing. I don't trust the fact that I've never tasted alcohol in my life. That's not enough to save me. I don't trust those things. I'm trusting one thing to get me to heaven. It's the price Christ paid for me, his own life. I lay it down. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down for the sheep. Now, are you banished? Well, let me tell you, if you are, you're not expelled. You can come, be saved. You don't see many getting saved anymore. 2 weeks ago, a man walked into our church. You could tell his body had been abused. He sat and listened. When I gave the invitation, he walked down the aisle, sat down there with me. I said, I never ask anybody that comes forward, why did you come? Good night. If you've been preaching to come, you ought to know why they came and not say, why did you come? I say, you came to get saved, didn't you? Yes. Do you know Jesus died for your sins? Yes. Do you know He's the only way to heaven? Yes, I believe that. Will you trust Him as your Savior? Yes, I want to. Will you pray right now and tell Jesus you're trusting Him to save you and not another thing? Just the person of Christ. He did. He prayed and said amen. All the boys came running around shaking hands with him. Next week I didn't see him. The next week I didn't see him. And I thought there was a lost cause. Sunday night he walked in. Quick as the service was over, came to me. Pastor Giler, 2 days after I got saved, I got sick. They took me to the hospital in Columbus, Riverside. He said, they kept me there days. I got out. And as quick as I got out, I wanted to come to church. And he was there on Sunday night with his Bible. Thank God. Thank God he wasn't expelled. He was just banished. And that's why you got to come back. You were banished, not expelled. Brother Leithley.